Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it is once again Monday. Yahoo.
Unfortunately.
Yahoo.
But never fret. We are here.
Yes. We're here to brighten up your wonderful Monday. So check us out at all our social medias. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, and Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and come and hang out with us. It'll be a great time.
Yay.
This week we're going to do another big old listener email. So excited about that. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature in a future show, Kyle has a bunch of information that he's going to share with you, that he shares with you every show.
Yeah, you can call the holophone, leave a voicemail, text it. Whatever you want to do, 1-618-556-0837. I am paying a little bit more attention to the holophone here of late, so that's a positive. I'm going to try to take it with me at least once or twice a week. That way I can respond to text messages a little bit more appropriately, et cetera, et cetera. You can also write your story out in email and send that over to our email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can also email your stuff to hollowskyinterviews@gmail.com to set up a future interview for our Patreon show. You can record yourself on a voicemail app or video record it and then, you know, send that over to the regular email. Any way you really want to do it. Get us your story. Get us your information so we can make a show of it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Feed that mad dash.
Support. If you'd like to support the show, which I'm sure that you would, there's many ways you can do it. Check us out at the Patreon. Go over there and see if there's anything that wets your whistle. Got...
Hell yeah.
Extra episodes over there, all kinds of good stuff. We got a Venmo. If you'd like to throw some money to our monster fund, that'd be dope. The best thing you could do is share word of mouth. Definitely tell everybody that listens to podcasts about our podcast. Share us on social media.
That's the biggest thing.
Make some stickers with our name on it and slap it around your town.
Facts.
Get a Hollow Sky tattoo.
Even better.
Rent a plane to hang a Hollow Cult banner behind it so your city sees the name of our podcast and looks into it. Maybe.
God, I feel like you just made a Petey Pablo reference.
Oh, yeah.
Petey Pablo, motherfucker. But,
you can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. That'd be super cool. If I find it, I'll gladly shout you out. Today's five-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Kev the Blue from Great Britain. Kev the Blue says, five stars, taking over. This podcast is up there with the best. Has a perfect balance of... Taking over, five stars. This podcast is up there with the best. Has the perfect balance and intelligence with opinions on the subject and topics. Good humor too, but not over the top, just like everything else that they present. Ghost emoji, ghost emoji, ghost emoji, ghost emoji, ghost emoji.
That's a lot of ghosts.
So, Kev, the Blue from Great Britain, we appreciate you, dog.
Very much.
Thank you for leaving us some kind words, even though I could not read them. So.
You have that.
Me and Kyle had really high hopes today to get in here and get a whole bunch of work done. Then.
True Hollis Guy fashion.
We got distracted by demons.
Yes.
And demonology.
Yes.
And how Kyle's probably already in that realm and I didn't know about it.
I don't agree with this entire time. I don't agree with this.
And then we started listening to metal.
Yes.
Which happens.
Which is awesome.
We're like, hey, did you hear this metal song? And then you know how that goes. It's like people showing YouTube videos and TikToks and shit.
Yeah, it's contagious.
So we're back to getting a two banger tonight.
Yay. Way to be a failure.
Yeah.
But hey, at least we're back on track. We're up to par. To be fair, the convention kind of threw us off. We had a lot of stuff pop up. So
October's a busy month.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on. So we're back. We're in the grind. And I mean, in our defense, we don't do like seasons. We don't have a month off.
No, we stay steady.
I think we've only taken like 3 weeks off total. In like three fucking years.
That is pretty crazy. Like I have far more dedication to this than my real job.
Yeah, fuck
it. And this is even a job.
Fuck a day job.
That's where I'm at. I love what we do, and hopefully one day we'll get there.
Hell yeah.
If not, it's been a hell of a ride.
It has.
And it's probably only going to get fucking weirder.
Yeah. And look, we've done this. We've gotten this far. By this time, we're going to be even closer to 1 million downloads. And we didn't have to sell our souls to a demon like
That's true.
The Island Boys did.
That's true. Very, very true.
So, get some.
Yeah, and I've got some new leads to sniff out from some holophoners.
On the Island Boys?
No, just some leads, and you know who I'm talking to. You know.
I do?
No.
They do.
The person listening knows.
They do.
Yes.
Copy that.
So, I'm going to have a conversation with that person in the near future to see what it beholds. It's supposed to be pretty fucked up.
We do enjoy fucked up.
Yeah, we're gonna go down that road, even though it's strongly advised not to. We're going to.
That's kind of what we do.
That's what we do.
It's kind of part of our shtick.
Yep.
But just like last episode, we have another lengthy listener email that we're going to share. Again, like I said, these are ones that are so long that they don't fit before an actual episode, like a research episode. And they're even too big to fit onto like a holophone episode. But we feel like they deserve to be heard.
Absolutely.
So we are going to just make an episode of them on their own and read it off and talk about it.
Well, and it's real quick, it's kind of fitting because we are going into October. So it's kind of like sharing stories, you know, from the listeners and what have you.
Yeah.
Also, I do admire how, ironically enough, these long ones that are basically full episodes, I love how they come with a title already.
Yeah, dude, these titles are bangers. These titles are bangers.
Yeah, so let's get into this fucking weird shit and see where we end up for the night.
All right, I'm already hopped up on like my fourth monster for the day, so my reading capabilities, considering it's almost midnight, are not
They're on point.
So bear with me. Don't shut the show off.
We're going to do our best.
At least download it first before you shut it
off.
Yeah. So this comes to us from our friend Adon. I hope I said that right. If I didn't, I apologize. The title of this, which is a banger, is When Dreams Bleed Into Reality.
Making our job easy.
Dude, that is. I wish I would have came up with that. So, future reference, people, if you send us a lengthy one, you got to get your title name on point.
That's a good one. That's a good standard to have from now on. If you're going to send a full episode for us,
better have a banger.
You got to title it.
You got to hook us in with the title.
You got to title it.
But we are going to jump into this, and I'll probably read it as I go. And if we get to an interesting spot, we'll probably stop and talk about it, jump back in.
Yep.
Kind of just play it by ear there.
Yes, sir. Let's get her cooking.
Before we wait, we hydrate. When dreams bleed into reality. Hey, fellas, my name is Adon, but most people call me Don, so feel free to call me so. I'm from Utah and currently live in a mid-sized city 30 minutes north of Salt Lake City. I wanted to do this over the holophone or record this, but I think it'd be too long. I stumbled on your show from Tony's show when you were talking about Egress Industries. If you want my opinion on Egress Industries, I think it's part of an advanced AI system that's evolving into something that will integrate itself biologically to humans through a type of hive mind. Anyway, I digress.
That's weird.
You don't need to digress. I feel like we should run with that. Because that's not the first person that said that.
No, Charlie suggested it.
Yeah.
Yep. And Charlie is the OG guy for it's Tony's biggest show ever. You know, the Enochian Technology episode. Charlie, I believe, I could be wrong, but I think he wanted to reach out through Tony to us to talk to us about that.
Yeah, and Bex and her brother said the same thing. They think it's some sort of AI system that could be functioning.
Right, and I mean, it's not out of the realm, and you know, there have been a couple updates in that world. Like that number is straight ghost. It's gone.
Yeah, me and Kyle tried to call it on the way home from the Van Meter Festival.
It's gone.
This last week, and it is registered to somebody else now. We did confirm it is a Google Voice number. I don't know if there's some way to go back and trace the number to the owners. I'm sure there is, but I don't know if it's any information that we could be privy to that's open to the public. I don't know if you'd have to have some sort of subpoena or what, but I do not suggest calling the number now. It's linked up to an entirely new voicemail. Then those people probably don't have any idea what the fuck Egress Industries is,
right?
And probably don't want to know about it.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, you know, to reiterate there, I know we talked about it a little bit with Tony, I believe, but after Tinfoil Hat, the line did a constant busy tone when you called it. And now, like Steve said, when we called it on the way back from Van Meter, it's gone. It's done.
Yep. It is, so, it is a totally different voicemail to somebody who I am 100% positive had nothing to do with Egress. Yeah, it's recycled itself.
Yeah, it's straight up. I feel like it's systematically ghosting itself from the internet now.
That's weird.
Yeah, because like when we ran down the ARG idea, like this is completely in the opposite direction of where you'd want to go with an ARG.
Yeah.
The only way that would play in and make sense is if we jumped into the ARG mid-game and didn't realize it.
Yeah. But we could talk about Egress forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, back to it. Anyway, I just wanted to say that your show is insanely awesome. I love listening to you both, especially while I'm at work, because my work day goes by faster. So keep up the excellent work, because I feel that both of you and like-minded podcasters are on the verge of something big. So let me start from the beginning and tell you a bit about myself and my background, which will help tie things in. I'm a Mexican-American. I was born in Texas, but grew up in northern Mexico in Idaho. And I'm sure you know there is a lot of paranormal and supernatural stuff that happens in Mexico and in the American Southwest region. I strongly believe that something happened in this area in the distant past that caused the supernatural to cross through, but that's a different story. As I said before, I grew up in Mexico, and up until I was about 5 or 6 years old, and the house my family and I lived in was haunted. My parents later explained to me when I was older that the house was previously owned by a bruja, which translates to witch in English. Anyway, we would get some pretty weird, gnarly activities in this house, from the guitar playing by itself at night to apparitions manifesting themselves coming out of the river that ran behind our house, and also seeing the wailing woman, the La Llorona. Llorona, La Llorona. I always say that wrong, but there's so much stuff that happened at this place, but not enough to fit it all on here. But let me know if you want more details later down the road. Yes, we do want more details.
And while we're taking a smidge here, I want to point out that I also, along with the natives, they're like Mexican lore is thick. Like they have their own like sets of lore, which are fucking fascinating. Because like the natives have all of their spirits and lore, and so doesn't the Mexican culture does as well. It's super fascinating. I actually saw a video the other night on the La Llorona, and it was creepy as fuck. It was on Paranormal Caught on Camera. Pretty bizarre, bizarre video.
Yeah. So we're definitely interested. Definitely. Oh, yeah. So from all these experiences, I grew up being superstitious that I will not even have a mirror anywhere in my house unless it's the bathroom, because I think they're a gateway, for lack of a better term. Now, this is the part of the story where I started to have dreams that are not quite dreams. So when I tell this story, my intention isn't to preach to anyone. I'm just telling you what happened from my point of view. It's up to any of you to come up with your own conclusions, but I digress. I became a born-again Christian 7 to 8 years ago, and before I converted, I was into Kabbalah and trying to gain esoteric knowledge as I wanted to become a Freemason, but life took me into another direction. There is so much more to this part of my story, but so little time to explain it all. Eventually, a few years down the road, I joined a ministry to do evangelism and teaching. One of my spiritual gifts has to do with the prophetic. No, this does not mean I'm a prophet. This just means that I have a gift to receive insight into someone and give them a word of knowledge or wisdom and encouragement. As I matured into this gift, I would start receiving dreams or thoughts out of left field about where to evangelize. I was a bit skeptical at first until I took a leap of faith and decided to listen and act on these impressions I would receive. And when I did so, it was like I was at the right place at the right time. On one of these occasions, after having an impression of where to go and do some evangelism, my ministry partner and I found ourselves in this really bad trailer park. We ran into this gentleman and his mom, who were both dealing with demonic activity and oppression. So this was a first for me, but thankfully my partner, who's a bit younger, I was about 30 at the time, and he was 27 or 28, he had experience in dealing with stuff as he's done deliverance before. So as we were doing some investigation on why they were dealing with demonic activity, the gentleman explained to me that he was a practicing witch and was in a coven, and it immediately clicked to me that he opened doors for these things to enter into his life. He told us that he would make deals with this particular entity that I will not name. One of the deals he made is he would pray to this entity in order to receive drugs in exchange. So one of the things I did was I asked the gentleman, who I will call D, to make the story easier to follow, I'd ask him if I could pray for him, to which he agreed. As I was praying for him out loud, his eyes started to roll into the back of his head, so the white of his eyes were the only thing that was showing. Fuck, he was that. Shifting his weight as if he was in pain. He told me to stop as he was experiencing excruciating pain throughout his body, and particularly his back. I immediately got the impression that this was going to be a long battle, and I started to get thoughts of doubt, and that I wasn't going to be able to win this one. But one of the things I learned about the spiritual warfare is that the enemy will make you feel like you can't win. So we pressed on, and I wasn't alone as my partner was with me. And earlier on that day, which was a Sunday, I felt that I needed to receive prayer from the prayer team at my church. Also, when we initially encountered D, I text my church small group and those I knew to pray for me and my partner. Okay, I'm going to stop there because that is terrifying. if you're trying to pray for someone and they just start this whole negative reaction, especially with the excruciating pain and their eyes rolling,
back is what would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Another thing, it's I'm asking this out of curiosity, right? You brought up how on your journey here, you started to basically get prophetic visions and what have you. And keep in mind, for anybody out there, not just the emailer, I'm asking out of curiosity, how does that not fall in line with like tarot cards and how they're in the religious background, it's frowned upon to do tarot? Why is it okay to embrace prophecy or visions?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's you would it's think pure they were curiosity. Almost... I'm not trying to cast doubt. I'm not trying to talk shit. No. I'm genuinely curious on it.
Yeah. Like what is...
Like where's the line get drawn?
What is the difference?
Yeah.
Like what makes one any more a negative connotation than the other?
Because with tarot and maybe like a Ouija board or anything like that, you're utilizing tools for outcomes, whereas I guess with prophecies, these are being visions being given to you.
That was what I was thinking. The only difference I can see is that like with tarot and stuff, you're reaching out
right
to get that knowledge, whereas like a prophecy is almost like you're given that knowledge,
right? Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know. There's a lot of wishy-washy. Because what if he was meditating or something of that nature to achieve that state? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that he was or anything like that. But I don't know. It's a curious question. Just if anybody feels to enlighten me on it, please do. It's interesting.
Definitely. Anyway, to make a long story short on this particular experience, we were able to deliver and free Dee and his mom from these demonic entities. This ordeal felt like an eternity, but in reality, we fought with this thing for 3 hours. I'm not going to lie to both of you. This is something I do not want to face again, as the after effects left me scarred, and it took me 2 weeks to physically recover from this as it drained some serious energy from me. But this isn't even the end to this part of the story, as a few months down the road, I began to become targeted by spiritual forces. This happened as I was fasting to better connect with God because I started to experience something weird. The best way I can explain it was like I was losing my ability to connect to the source and that something was putting a wall between me and God, for lack of a better term. So as I said before, I was doing a no-food fast, and on one particular night I fell asleep. I had an unusual dream. In this dream, I was in an empty lot and I was noticing this mist fog around the entire area. And it was a grayish day, kind of like the very early hours of the morning. I began to walk around and I noticed a large group of people forming a circle, so I began to walk towards them. I noticed that these people were devoid of life. I'm not talking about them being dead, as they were very much alive, but were in a trance zombie-like state, as if they had no free will. I could touch them as I bumped into them, but there was no reaction out of them. It was like I was invisible to them. One of the things I perceived through an impression that I received was that some of these people were important and some of them were just average. Anyway, as I walked closer to the epicenter of the circle, I noticed these dark hooded entities right smack in the middle of it all. I could not see their faces, but the thing that struck me was their cloaks and hoods were darker than dark. A color that was darker than the darkest night. I was getting an evil and malicious vibe from them. As I was observing these entities, I began to get the impression that they were not human. I noticed that one of them had human-like hands, but something was very off. It was like they were trying to mimic a human, but couldn't exactly pull it off. As I was moving around these entities, I noticed this large black cauldron that they were using, and I saw this miasma of dark purplish clouds that was coming out of the cauldron, and it was making contact with those people that were in the trance, as if the miasma was somehow controlling or affecting them. At this point, one of the entities noticed me, and it seemed like I surprised it because I got this feeling from it like I wasn't supposed to see what they were doing, much less I wasn't supposed to be there witnessing what was going on. The entity reached out with his hand to grab me, and just as its hand was about to make contact, I woke right up, jumping out of bed, with a feeling of extreme dread, cold sweat on my face, and I noticed the time was 3 a.m. My waking body felt like I didn't get any sleep at all. Shortly after, as time went by, from having the dream, my spiritual life and walk with God gradually got worse. It seemed like I was being cursed because things would happen, such as streaks of bad luck, like my car tire shredding on my way to work, even though the tires were in good shape, and also me losing stuff like keys or personal belongings disappearing on me, then reappearing a few days or weeks later. Things got worse and worse. My health was seriously declining, and out of nowhere, I was dealing with an illness the doctors couldn't explain, even though I saw many different physicians. I began to get pulsating migraines that began on the left side of my temple area, and over the time, I also began to feel this movement on the left side of my body. It felt like something was crawling. Eventually, I began getting very dark, negative thoughts. No matter how many times I prayed, I couldn't get rid of this presence following me, and most of the advice I received from my church was completely useless because they were not equipped to handle this. To be honest, I think most modern Western Christian churches no longer know how to deal with this stuff because their focus has shifted, as I will explain later in the story. Anyway, for 2 to 3 years, I dealt with this misery and oppression. It felt like I was going insane and that there were too many voices in my head that weren't my own thoughts, and it all felt like they were telling me to end it all. So at this point, I finally had it with all this insanity and all the crap and bad luck that was happening in my life. The next thing I did was research deliverance from oppression on YouTube, out of all places, as I was just about out of options. I ran into this channel called Curse Break Ministries, which is a deliverance prayer channel. So I clicked on one of the prayers against spiritual oppressions, began to listen to the preacher pray out loud. As the gentleman was praying, I began to feel like I was going to vomit, which I did. Not just vomit, but like the vomit of all vomits. This continued for 10 to 15 minutes straight as the prayer went on. After the prayer was done, I felt a sudden peace, and for the first time in 3 years, like my life was back to normal. All the voices in my head were gone, and that this evil presence that followed me for those 3 years was finally gone. Over time, my body began to heal itself from those illnesses that I was going through. From this nightmarish experience, I went through some changes. Happened to me as I became very mentally and physically resilient, and a sense awakened within me that let me perceive when people are being somehow affected by spiritual forces. Also, this new sense helps me perceive certain truths on people or other things, kind of like being able to see the soul is the best way I can explain it. There's so much more to this story and experiences I went through, but for time's sake, I can't explain it all. But I wanted to share a few more dreams that really stuck out that I feel like I need to share with you and anyone who will listen. I write down my significant dreams because I try to interpret them. The most recent significant one I had, I titled Danger Close.
Well, hang on. Can we go back just a hair?
Yeah.
So, it's more or less a question slash observation slash trying to, which I'm not discrediting at all, but whenever he was being oppressed, I feel like a lot of the things he describes happens to a lot of people in life, right? And I'm not saying that everybody's possessed, but I feel like a lot of people feel this way. The other set that my mind thinks about is, so I would have liked to have known his mental state when he, before at slash as he was looking up the YouTube channel for prayer, right? Because, and once again, I'm not trying to discredit it, but it makes you, like, his mental state going into it, because I feel like, personally, I feel like he would have clicked on it not expecting much, right? Because if you're in that mental state of being oppressed and being beat the fuck down, I don't think he would have clicked on it thinking, this is my savior, this is how I'm gonna get better. You know what I mean? Like, almost like somehow tricking himself, like you're manifesting your destiny, so to speak, of being like, well, if I watch this video, then my oppression will be gone. You see what I'm saying? Like, if he went into that not expecting that outcome and then that outcome happened, that's way more impactful to me as listening to the story than if he knew this was going to happen. It would be like me in my tarot reading. Like if I would have went into that knowing, I know she's going to tell me that I'm protected.
Yeah.
And then it it validates myself. However, I didn't know what was going to happen when I went into it, and it was mind-blowing. It would be interesting to know. Like I said, I feel like he went into it like, you know what? I'm throwing a Hail Mary here.
It's like a last-ditch effort.
Right,
like,
yes, exactly.
Nobody around me is helping. Let's see what I can find.
And I that's kind of why I bring it up, is I don't want anybody to use that excuse of, well, he just convinced himself of this.
I got you.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Just kind of a interesting thought process here. And
it's wild that you talk about this from the point of view of someone that's being essentially demonically oppressed, because I'm in the process of researching and writing an episode on a possession, and they talk about the four stages of possession. And it talks about how the demons will make you start to question your own sanity. Like you said, like you hear voices that aren't your own.
Right.
Like all these like almost telltale signs of schizophrenia as something to like compare it to. But it makes it so bad to where it also like convinces the people around you that you're also don't have any credibility and that you're kind of going crazy, for lack of a better term. And a lot of time it causes people to consider suicide.
Yeah. Oh, I can see that. I can see that. Especially like being, like he said, his health was failing.
Yep.
He felt like his connection with God was being severed. Like bad luck was continuing to hit him. And not to mention, he didn't give a time frame as to when this happened, did he?
Not.
Like it's like a 2009 or no, anything like that.
No.
I didn't think so. But if you were to equate that with today's way of life, I mean, there's a lot of shit to make people depressed, right?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. So if you, like I said, most people can deal with negativity. The problem is when negativity starts to compound on itself, where your tire goes flat.
It's easy to get overwhelmed.
You and your wife are fighting, and then like everything just starts compounding, where you do feel like life is just kicking you in the nuts. And then on top of that, if you were, I don't believe he did. Well, yeah, no, he did. He did say he had negative thoughts. But if you were dealing with these quote unquote voices in your head, these sadistic images, I mean, that is a massive thing on top of already shitty stuff.
Yep.
So, and I'm glad that you didn't go down that road. I'm glad that did not happen, because nobody wants to hear that, you know, and nobody wants that. And nobody should do that. Everybody, I'm glad that he was able to find another question real quick. Don, if you're listening, I would like to know if when you went to that YouTube channel and listened to that prayer, if that's a prayer you've ever heard before, or if it was utterly new to you.
Interesting.
That would be an interesting angle there.
It also stood out as I'm reading through this book I'm using for my information, that whenever the exorcism was complete in this said book, the victim of the possession threw up.
No
massively
shit.
Massively threw up. Yep. Just
interesting.
The same as Don did.
Interesting.
It was weird. Going back in. The most recent significant dream I had, I titled The Danger Close. In this dream, I was in a soccer stadium at night. The stadium was full of people. I had this feeling that I needed to look up, and I saw the moon, which was bluish pale in color, and it was surrounded by these clouds that were running vertically like pillars. Out of nowhere, the moon started to turn red. Then it started spinning, and then the moon projected this hologram which revealed a map of the world as it was spinning. I noticed I was the only one who was able to see this, as the crowd in the stadium was too busy watching the game go on. When I looked up at the map, that the moon was projecting, it first showed the U.S. Then the American Midwest region began to turn red on the map. Something told me this red spot on the map were areas that were going to suffer from something terribly, whether it be apocalyptic, natural disasters, or attacks. Anyway, the moon started to spin faster and faster, and with it, the map it was revealing. I saw pretty much all countries and nations highlighted in red, and I knew all too well this was going to be a near extinction doomsday scenario. At this point, the moon kept spinning out of control. And as I kept looking, I noticed those clouds that looked like pillars began to turn into tidal waves, and it was headed straight for the stadium. That was when I woke up. I've had apocalyptic dreams before. This one I just mentioned, and the world was engulfed in firestorms, and people seeking shelter in caves from these firestorms, and also regions above the 45th North Parallel being plagued by super tornadoes and storms.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I've also dealt with dream paralysis and out-of-body experiences. One of my out-of-body experience happened as I was sleeping when suddenly I felt this feeling of dread, which I woke up to see this black mass standing in the corner of my room. I jumped out of bed and stood up and rebuked this thing using the name of Jesus. Then the mass darted out of my room and disappeared. I stood there for a few seconds trying to get my bearings straight, and then I turned back to my bed, to which I saw my body still laying in bed. This put me in a brief shock, and all I can think of were the words, "What the fuck?" Not even a split second after thinking, I was back in my body and woke up again, for real this time. That's also weird, because another section of possession talks about the demons producing these shadow-like entities the further into the possession you get. Which I thought is weird, considering that he also touched on things from the other levels of possession. I have it here somewhere. For oppression. That would be the third stage of possession. Finally, materializations of a black form that personifies evil are the culmination of this oppression caused by the demon. Because of the demon, the victims start to believe that they are insane. Dramatic personality changes are accompanied by mood swings and depression. The victim will make heavy use of foul or obscene language. It is weird that it's all kind of tying in. I wonder if this black mass showed up when you were having that rough time, that rough patch in your life. The last dream I will tell was of me going down this giant cavern. As I was going down this giant cavern, I can see people on the very wide ledges, and they were engaging in all sorts of sexual perversions. I'm not going to lie, this was very pleasing in my eyes, and I wanted to see more of it. And the further down I went into this cavern, the more perverted and debauched the sexual acts became. I kept going further and further down this cavern, and it almost seemed like this cavern was something out of a painting or a depiction of Dante's Inferno. Suddenly, I heard this loud, stern voice telling me, "You need to stop. You don't want to go down there." And that's when I woke up. That's all for the dreams and experiences that I'm going to share for today. There's so much more I'd like to share, but it would be too much to put all in here. I'd like to give some pointers about dealing with spiritual warfare before I close. And again, I'm not trying to preach to anyone. I'm just pointing out things that work for me from my experience. Don't accept negative or dark thoughts as your own, as negative entities can implant thoughts into your own mind and have you believe that they are your own thoughts. Learn to take thoughts captive by replacing those negative thoughts with truthful thinking, as even positive thinking doesn't do much. I know both of you mentioned that you started to practice being thankful and grateful to God, So that's one way of replacing evil thoughts with something good. Don't seek the supernatural even if you think you're ready, because these entities don't play by any man-made rules. If you're dealing with spiritual warfare, don't fight these things on their own terms or turf. Fight on your own home turf, and don't do it alone, as I made that mistake. Also, the bigger the obstacle, the more people you're going to need to combine your prayers. You have authority over these things. Use the name of Jesus like you mean business. And yes, the name of Jesus will work even against the Fae, but sometimes you'll have to use the name of Jesus in Hebrew, which is Yeshua. And don't collect relics or items that can attract these entities to you, such as Ouija boards and such. By the way, you don't need to be a believer to use the name of Jesus to have its effect. Side note, the Apostle Paul likened this world to something like the Matrix. We can bend and influence the reality around us and manifest things from the spiritual world into the physical world, but we cannot change the laws, and even other worldly beings are subject to these laws. I'd like to get into this further with both of you, but that's for another time. Last pointer, don't be afraid to confess sin to God. God is not a God of condemnation, and sin isn't just sin. It can be something like fear or anger. You have to confess areas in your life that you're afraid of. Condemnation comes from guilt, and it's the only accuser that causes the condemnation. Anyway, fellas, thank you for letting me share my experiences with you. I'm currently working to do some reformation with the Westernized Christian Church, as I feel it has lost its way and become a circus show of consumable showmanship full of feel-good motivational speakers and authors instead of helping people and showing them how to deal with spiritual issues. Anyway, gentlemen, God bless and Godspeed. Before I forget, the both of you should visit Utah. There's a lot of weird paranormal stuff that goes on around here, from haunted asylums to Bigfoot and dogmen and UFOs. We actually have our own Area 51, about an hour or so away from here from where I live. I'm planning to visit some of the areas here in Utah next year that have supposed stargates and UFO sightings, so I'm throwing the invite to you, both of you, and whoever else wants to come with. If you're just wanting to experience the great outdoors or find a great place to live, then Utah is the right place to be. Anyway, gents, it's been a pleasure. Stay weird and stay safe. Don, thank you so much for sharing your dreams and experiences.
I like
with
that.
With us. And all these ones where you're like, there's not enough time. Well, dude, there is enough time. So
there's always enough time. I would like to sit down and have a conversation with you, because like questions started firing the fuck off in my head whenever you started talking about the laws and how we can bend and influence these laws, but even otherworldly beings have to abide by these laws. Like that, instantly, obviously, I'm going to be like, well, what are the laws?
Yeah.
Like, how do we do that? And another thing you point out, don't do it alone. That's one thing I don't think me and Steve have to worry about at this point, is doing things alone. Because not only do we have each other and our families, but we have every single person listening. You know, we've got heavyweights in our corner like Tony and a couple other guys that would aid us spiritually in any way we ever asked, which I'm eternally grateful for. I really am.
I'm curious about some of the rules here.
For sure.
Like, don't seek the supernatural, even if you think you're ready. What would be the difference in seeking the supernatural and seeking the paranormal?
Fair.
You know, because I like, don't seek it, but then he's like, come down here and experience all this weird shit.
Yeah, know? I caught that too. Maybe on this, it's got to be a spiritual side of it, of the paranormal. Right? It has to be.
I mean, you would think.
Because like Bigfoot, Stargate, UFOs, it's not typically tied to spirituality.
No.
Typically. In some corners, yes, but not normally.
I'm curious about the laws too. You cannot change the laws. but they don't play by the rules of man, but they have to follow these laws.
I fuck with your sentiment too. Don't fight fair. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
I can deal with that because you know what's funny? You say that you don't have to like really believe in Jesus to use the power of, and you have to say it like you mean business. And in my experience that night, whenever I did do that for the first time in regards to helping my son out, I'll be honest, I was fucking pissed. Like, and I did. I said it like I was ready to go to war with this thing. Like, that's how it was in my head. Like, I was like, all right, motherfucker. You wanna play this game? Let's play this game. Like, I'm done dealing with this shit. And I think it was because, like, it's weird when you're a parent. Like, you have something like that happen to you, and it's scary. But you have something like that happen to your child, and you just instantly go into fight mode where you're like, I'll square up with anybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter what you are, how big or small you are. I'll go toe to toe with anything for my kid. And that's how it was that night. Like I felt like, all right, let's go. Like I'm not even playing these games. I'm not doing this shit. You done crossed the line. The line is crossed, motherfucker. So it's kind of interesting that you pointed that out. Like you got to mean business when you're doing that shit. And I definitely did that night. And like I said, you can call it what you want, but I've seen positive results in taking those steps.
And I mean, like we were looking into earlier, that dude who is dealing with the making deals with demons and shit, he says you have to be stern. You have to,
yeah.
You have to not show any fear. You have to talk to them like, you know, like you're there for business.
Right. Yeah. And that's something me and Steve ventured into a little bit before this episode. And I don't want to go into too many details about it, but I'll tell you right now that A, 100% believe the guy. I believe he's telling the truth.
There is no inkling in his mannerisms that he is not into exactly what he's portraying he's into, what he's putting out that he's into.
And I'll tell you this, it's been the most uncomfortable I think I've been since probably Egress, when Egress first started.
Yeah, I was listening to this guy talk, and man, there were so many synchronicities that were popping up. Like, yeah, this guy was mentioning these grimoires and stuff, and I just happened to had picked one up off of Amazon, and not 10 minutes before I flipped open this page and there was this specific like
entity
demon or entity. And just from flipping the page open, and I was cracking jokes about it, making fun of the way it looked and shit, just between me and Kyle.
Yeah.
And not 4 minutes later, on this dude's timeline, he's talking about the exact same entity that I had flipped the page open to.
It was fucking weird.
And it got to the point to where Kyle's like, you're going to have to stop playing this, because it was touching on things we were talking about.
Yeah.
It was touching on things that we had mentioned earlier.
Like literally from the last episode that you guys have heard, which is probably 40 minutes before this recording, or we were talking about it or whatever. Like, Steve's shown me this guy's stuff, and he's literally almost word for wording what I said in that last episode.
And
that episode was recorded before Steve showed me.
And this guy had recorded the content last month.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, it's probably the most uncomfortable I've been in a while.
It was weird.
everything about it screams that he's telling the absolute truth. Yeah, I don't like I told Steve, I was like, dude, you're gonna have to shut it off because this is getting weird. Like I am not liking where this is going. I don't know, you can hear me, I'm speechless. Like I don't know what to think about it. I really don't.
Yeah, and I was just kind of scrolling through, listening to him talk, and I know Kyle's more spiritual than I am. I think that's fair to say without any kind of argument. But when I flipped that, and there was the specific demon that I was just talking shit on 3 minutes before, and I don't even know that it's a real prevalent demon. I just opened the book and I'm like, look at this dude, you know?
Yeah.
And then he pops up on this guy's content timeline within this few minute section. I'm like, okay, that's fucking weird.
Little strange.
That's weird. So we're kind of in a section here where do we reach out to this guy and talk to him?
I don't know, man.
See what he has to say? Cause
at first I was interested in it. And then
it's just too much.
It started to compound itself, and I'm like, holy fuck.
It's
weird. And like I told Steve, I'm not going to go into a lot of details about it, but you hear these people that come forward and say they are in these satanic cults and lifestyle and everything else, and they have that image, right? And then you listen to this guy. And then it makes you wonder for a second. You're like, is everybody else just kind of like fronting?
Oh yeah, just like an image.
Like, do they think they're in this, but maybe they're actually not?
Because they're. I mean, man, I said we weren't gonna go down it, but now we're down it. Because this guy has people reaching out to him, like.
Both sides of the
coin. Yeah. Hey, I got this going on. What demons do I need to contact in order to help me? And he'll give them information. But then on the flip side, he's like, or you could do this, this, and this to cleanse your house. Or you can contact this angel, and this angel to do. Like, he's playing both. Like, he's
weird.
Sending them on both sides of the coin. Like, if you don't want to do it with this path, here, use this path.
Yeah.
And he said he made a video stating that he has people from not only the sacred side of things, the religious, like Christian and other faith-based religions kind of coming at him. He also has people in the occult world also coming at him. So I'm like, man, if anything says that you're saying something that people don't want other people to hear, it's when you have opposite sides both focusing on you as the enemy.
And I promise you, you can tell by listening to this guy, his demeanor, his voice, his stature, he doesn't give a fuck if you believe him. He's just putting the information out there. He doesn't care one way or the other.
Yeah, it's
and there's something so subtle about him that makes it so disturbing.
Yeah, he's terrifyingly chill about it.
It literally feels like all he's doing is no different than what Don just did. Don laid the facts out.
Yeah.
This is what it is. I don't care if you believe me. I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm not trying to do anything. Here it is for what it is. That's it. And I feel like that's exactly what homie's trying to do.
It's weird.
He's just laying it out there. He doesn't care. And there's a million and one implications that come with that. I mean, there's a million and one questions, which we're not going to get into. I will be way more curious in about a month. I'll put that out there. I'm not going to say anything more about it, but I'll be way more curious in about a month. So keep that in mind. Also, another thing to point out here, it may or may not be something we bring up later on, But old Don here, he possibly fits what Tony's looking for. Motherfucker's going into caves.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another synchronicity there.
That is...
because Tony has been dealing... and I don't have all the details from Tony, and maybe more of what old Don has said fits Tony's criteria, because Tony is being very tight-lipped about that venture, which I don't blame him. But even with us, he's keeping us at arm's length with it for the most part.
That is weird.
He's mentioned about bringing us in on it, but it's, you know, yet to be seen. But it would... I would be curious to see the talk with Tony and loosely bring up this encounter and see if more than the cave matches what Tony's looking for. Because, you know, the cave thing can be across the board. Like, it's a very bland, I don't know what I'm looking for here, but like a... like subject matter, like you're like something you're searching for. You're just like cave.
Yeah.
But if
it paints a very broad stroke.
That's it. That's it right there. It's a broad term. But if more of what Don was saying fits these other hidden boxes that Tony's got.
It's so weird that like
I would be interested.
That was one of the main talking points with Egress was
caves
and caverns.
Yeah.
And now it's all culminating in like all these different aspects of our world is kind of.
Yeah. No, I 100% think there's way more to Egress than meets the eye.
Yeah, fucking Egress.
Yeah. Every single time me and Steve.
What a cop out.
Every single time me and Steve.
What a fucking cop out.
Brainstorm it and we go back to messages. Like there's new paths that we find and new.
I know.
New wording that we overlooked.
I hope they listen to the show, and I hope they know every day that I'm still looking.
Well, it's still there.
I'm still looking. I just
like you said, that is weird. I wonder. See, I don't want to butt in on Tony's shit, but I would like to know more about it. Just to see if we've ventured across any of his criteria. It would also be helpful. Keeping us in the loop if there is specific criteria he's looking for. Because if he's making this a thing, then he's got two dudes who are pretty solid allies in the fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a really weird night, guys.
It has been.
It's been a lot weirder than I thought.
We came into this primed and ready to go. We're like, we're gonna bang out four episodes, we're gonna get ahead. Recorded the first one, went without a hitch. The demon talker showed up and everything's fucked up now.
Yeah, it's interesting to say the least. It's not that I'm scared or anything of that nature.
No, it just feels too real.
Like I can't explain it, but I can assure you that it's just fucking weird. It just feels off. It doesn't feel right.
It's weird.
Like it made me, like I said, it made me fucking uncomfortable as all hell watching that guy talk. And logically, you put him in a room and he talks about anything else and you're like, oh, okay, this guy's kind of cool. Like he just has this demeanor about him. Very subtle.
He's just calm.
Very humble.
Yeah, and like you said, he has zero ego about him.
Oh, none at all. None at all, and it's so fucking bizarre. Because dude's jacked as fuck. You know, like he has a lot going for him. He's not any bigger than we are, and he's making shit tons of cash.
And he attributes it all.
Oh, yeah, every bit of it.
To them.
Every last bit of it.
But if what he's saying holds an ounce of truth, there are some really big names.
Oh yeah.
That have a lot of shit coming their way.
Oh yeah. Not good. And like I said, if what he says happens in about a month, I'm going to be floored. Absolutely floored. Like, I don't know how I'd even approach it talking about it on the show. Like, because that dude mentioned very big things. And if what he says comes true in the time frame that he says that it comes true, fuck me. Like,
he said, his exact words were, "This hurricane is just the tip of the iceberg."
Yeah. Yeah.
If they don't hold up their end of the bargain, this hurricane is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's seriously some of the most bizarre shit I've ever heard in my life. And that's coming from us. Like, that's coming from us.
We'll have to see.
I don't know. I just...
We'll have to see where this goes.
Did not feel like dude was lying at all. At all.
It takes a lot to get Kyle to shut off. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Like,
Kyle looks at me, he's like, "You're going to need to shut that off now."
Like, a lot of times I'm pretty decent at picking holes in people's stories when I really want to. And I can find little chinks in their armor. And I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't add up. This doesn't add up. But everything this fucking guy is saying, I feel like he's not lying about it. I'm not saying it's my truth or your truth or Steve's truth or anybody's truth. I feel like it's hard to explain without you seeing the videos. And I don't recommend people to watch it. I don't.
This dude
I wouldn't recommend it.
I believe that he believes 150%. Of what he is saying, of what he is contacting, of what he is making deals with, of what he has developed relationships with. In this guy's mind, it is 150% legit.
The way he talks about it makes you feel real. Like you don't look at him and go, "Yeah, right, he's lying, he's full of shit." You look at him and you go, "Holy fuck. Holy fuck. What is going on?"
Yeah. And he's convincing.
That's what makes it worse. That's what makes it worse. Cause now he said he gets flooded with messages on how people can contact the other side, looking for wealth, looking for this, looking for that. And I'm like, holy moly, this is,
yeah,
this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
That might be we might have him on for a future show. We might be making a pact with things we're not supposed to be making pacts with, and we don't even know it. So,
well, I ain't trying to do that.
Great. Great.
I am not trying to do that.
I'm
trying to live a weird life, just not that fucking weird. I want to be happy. And I'm not going to be happy knowing my soul is up for damnation. I'm sorry. That's not okay with me.
I mean, what more is there to say?
It's kind of facts.
That is, what more is there to say? But we'll wrap that up there now that we left you guys on that fucking cliffhanger that might not amount to anything. Check us out at all our social medias: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Reddit, Discord. Come and hang out with us. Until we meet again next Monday, stay safe, stay weird, and I don't know, don't make fun of demons because they're probably fucking listening to you.
Yes.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.